Welcome to Career Tools. Today's topic, developing your career using your network. Here we go. It seems like that every cast we record, we talk about the importance of building your network. I mean, not like it's an important thing or not, you know.
Yeah.
So,
I would have worried about that 5 years ago. But in hindsight, looking back, it's absolutely the right thing to do. It's a huge advantage. Almost no one does it. A lot of people who don't do it act as if it's not important and belittle people who do it and then say, oh, he just uses network. Every article you read about job hunting says most jobs come through network engagement, right?
Yeah. You know, people come to us and say, well, I have this problem at work. I really need somebody to help me with it, but I don't know anybody who can help me with it. Or the people that can help me with it, I don't have a relationship with. Well, guys, at that point, it's kind of too late. You have to develop the relationship. You have to build your network ahead of having the problem, ahead of having the need for someone to help you out, right? If you want a mentor, the point in time which you want a mentor is not the time to start building your network. You have to build your network ahead of time. So those folks exactly. who mentor you, you already have in your network. And like you said, and the same thing for a job, right? You get fired. It's too late now to start developing your network. I can't say it's too late, but it's certainly helpful to have developed it before being fired.
Yeah, and I've been thinking and asking people who have been on Facebook, getting ready to write something which says, and Facebook really doesn't make your network any bigger. I'll describe that more in the post. I think a lot of people who believe they have a better network than they do because they're friends with people on Facebook, which I think doesn't mean a great deal when it comes to favors or, you know, needs from your network. And look, it's funny, but years ago, a really good book was written. Harvey McKay wrote a book, Dig Your Well Before You're Thirsty.
Right. There you right? go.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sums up what I was trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why he wrote it, right? Because you've got to do the hard work day in, day out. Building your network is just like management. It's boring. It's unsexy. It's not pretty. It's repetitive. It takes discipline. It's not traumatic. And when you need it, it works.
Right. Well, we've talked about building your network by being indiscriminate, right? Adding everyone.
Yeah.
And then, very importantly, keeping in touch with them. But I want to talk today a little bit about how you develop your career on a day-to-day basis using your network. One of the things you can do day-to-day versus, okay, yeah, someday I might get fired or I might need a job. But how does it help day-to-day?
Well, let's put it this way. How can your career be helped overall, right, on a regular basis? I think you're absolutely right to ask the question. And there are four things that you can come up with almost immediately. And they're not an exhaustive list. They're just the first ones that come to mind that are, you know, probably a bad phrase, but low-hanging fruit. Number one is you can give back. You know, we've talked about this before, but that's partly what you do with your network in order to increase the chances that it will give to you when you need it. The second thing you could do is use it to gain skills. It's a repository of skills that can be transferred to you. You can absolutely use it to gain information. Holy moly. This is a case where people, you know, they make a couple of clicks on the web and they think they can't find out a salary amount. And so, oh, it's not out there. I don't know what to do, as opposed to calling some of their network contacts. And lastly, you can use it to gain visibility for a promotion or for other opportunities as well. So four easy things that you can interact with your network on that will make a difference and often are pinch points for people. And that's what excites us about this is that, you know, if you need information and you spend half an hour on the web and you can't find it and you haven't called your network, we just want to hit ourselves on the forehead and go, why wouldn't you have engaged your network? So those are the four.
Good. Well, your network is not this like magic tree that keeps providing fruit
it
to
isn't?
Your career.
Mike, it isn't. I mean, are we disagreeing for the first time ever?
I suspect we're not disagreeing.
I've always thought it was a magic tree.
Yeah, the magic tree, but it's not. And building your network, the first thing you need to think about is giving back. You need to give to get. Not like that's foreign to people who have listened to Career Tools or Manager Tools for a while, right?
Yeah. Look, in keeping with our broader philosophy, we'd like you to give to other people out of love for your fellow human beings. Love, serve, give is an easy way to go through life. But if you can't, and you need a reason. If the calculus doesn't work for you in that way, just giving because you love people, then give to get, right? Do it as a down payment. And I definitely see networks as an investment vehicle, right? And what you want is an ROI. To get a return, to get the R on the ROI, you need I.
Right.
But what people think is they don't have to invest. This is like the magic of retirement, right? There's a company out there that's got an advertisement where people are carrying around a number, an actual physical number underneath their arm. And what it is the amount of money they need to have saved up for their retirement. And one guy is walking around with $1 million or $2 million underneath his arm, and his neighbor is trimming his hedges, and underneath the hedge trimmers is the word bajillion, I think. And the guy says, "What's that?" He says, "Oh, that's my number." "Well, that's a bajillion." He says, "Yeah, you know, I don't really have a plan." Right. And that's the problem with, you know, his return is probably going to be zero, because what it's saying is, I mean, it might be zero or a bajillion because he doesn't have any investment. He's not investing. Folks, if you don't invest in your network, it's not going to return to you.
It's like Stephen Covey talks about the emotional bank account, right? I mean, we all have friends or people we know who do this, right? They ask for favor after favor, right? You know, one of your friend comes over, wants to borrow your lawnmower and then your barbecue and then your patio furniture. And never gives, right? It's always too busy to help you with whatever you need, right? You need some help with some plumbing. They're too busy. It doesn't matter who it is. At some point, you just don't want to do the person any favors anymore. And you start avoiding the person. You make excuses that when they come around or ask you for something, "Oh, yeah, I need a lot more. My son's mowing the lawn this weekend." So we're just suggesting don't become that person. Don't continue to ask from your network without giving something back.
Yeah. What's surprising to me is that people seem surprised. I know I shouldn't be surprised in my job, but I thought that's what the network was for, is to do favors for me. Okay, what have you done for me lately? And then the thought they have is, why are you being so selfish? Like, what? I mean, really? There's no reciprocity here? As my dad used to say, you can take more than you give, but only for a little while until they run you out of town. Now, look, some people it's easy to give back to, right? Your peers are likely to need things from you as often as you need something from them. Although, again, I think there are plenty of people who are listening right now who, when they're asked for something, they immediately consider the amount of time it takes for them to do it and the cost to them, and they say no. And they don't see anything about that return that they'll get that, hey, I've got a favor that's going to be owed back to me. Look, it's easy to offer to help somebody in a meeting you both go to or on a project you're both on, even if you're in different departments. But look, even with more senior people or people in different companies, send them information you think they'd be interested in. Let them know about events or news items which affect them. And frankly, just asking them, hey, how they're doing. Hey, heard about your company's new success. Congratulations. That is a form of giving as well. Just communicating with them and commenting on something that's going well or something you noticed or something you thought about is a form of giving. Now, yeah, if they get to the very top of the organization, they'll probably be dismissive. But that's not a function of everybody at the top is being dismissive. It's a function that you probably don't have a great relationship with them. Drop them a note when you see them mentioned. Make arrangements to meet them for coffee when you go to the same conference. People are flattered by that. I hate to think of myself as important, but there are people who tell me, I'm amazed you gave me 15 minutes of time on the phone because I just assumed you wouldn't. And I said, well, why? And they said, well, you know, sometimes you're gruff on the cast. I said, yeah, okay. I understand that. I don't think I've been that way for quite a while, but, and they, you're busy. I said, yeah, okay. And my point is not that I'm busy, but rather that people talk themselves out of the ask and then complain as well than they do when they don't have an ROI. Like, well, at least ask. Believe me, when somebody says no at a senior level, they regret it. They'd like to have had the time. But look, offer to deliver items to them to their office. If it's an internal customer, say, no, I'll bring it over. Don't worry. You don't need to come for it. And geez, for goodness sake, do the simplest giving of all. Say hi to them, ask how they are, smile at people when you see them in a corridor or on an elevator. I think I wrote recently about, I'm amazed at people who don't smile at other professionals. I can't remember where it was. Oh, I was at a party. I never go to parties. I'll go to 3 parties this year. I just don't get invited to parties. I'm It's like personal confession hour here, but I just don't get invited to parties. I was in a party in New York City recently, and there was probably 200 people there, very nice surroundings. And I would walk by people, and maybe it was just because I was the only non-New Yorker, but I would walk by people in the hall. I was getting a drink for my wife or finding out where a particular appetizer was or whatever. And I mean, I would look right at people. Hello, how are you? Hi, how's it going? Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. And nothing. People would look right at me and walk right by me. And it really quite surprising. And that's just a behavioral change on our part. Say, hi, how's it going? So start with a giving attitude. Give more to your network. Invest in your network as a way to get something back immediately, feeling good about yourself. Because when you give to your network, you're developing that ROI, that return that you so desperately will need when you need it.
Yeah.
Yeah. To go back to your point, I mean, it's not a magic tree, but if you do that, if you invest, if you plant it and water it and take care of it, it will have fruit for you when you need it.
Right. Simple. Right.
It's not magic. It looks like magic when the people who actually have their network benefit them, right? It's like, gosh, I don't notice that guy doing anything different than me, but his network seems to bear fruit. Oh, yeah. He's doing stuff. It just looks like management stuff, which is it's small and it's no big deal and it's gradual. And it's a bit like tectonic plates as opposed to a volcano. It really, really makes a difference.
Well, if you're wandering through a strange land and you happen to walk through an apple orchard and you think it appears naturally in nature, that probably grammatically doesn't make sense, but you think it occurs naturally and you eat of the fruit and think, well, isn't this wonderful? You've missed the fact that there's somebody who's tending that orchard, who's watering it, who's fertilizing it, doing all the things they need to do to make that thing grow. So your network is very similar to somebody who has a network. It looks kind of magical, but it's not. It's a result of just simple things done repetitively over a long period of time.
Yep.
Okay. That's kind of a skill in kind of developing the network. But how do we use it? We talked about when you get fired or when you need a job or you're job hunting. But there are much simpler things in life where your network makes a difference. And one of those is using it to gain new skills.
Yeah. You know, hopefully everybody's heard us say develop a network that is both broad across many industries, many levels, many geographical locations, diverse in all ways, and also deep. In other words, several levels of a company, several different people in every location and so on. And it's important to do that. The bigger, wider, and more diverse your network is, the better. When you need to learn some skill or you need to learn how to do something or you need to understand better why something is going on, you'll always know somebody who is better at it than you. You know, we joked before that if you were my boss and you were going to be coaching me, we joked that if you were coaching Mike and I, Mike would read a bunch of books. Now, I'm certainly in favor of reading books. I love reading books. But if I were going to have a coaching resource applied to me, it'd probably be a mentor. And I'd probably just call one of my friends and say, hey, I need your help. Teach me how to do this because I know you're good at it. And people seem surprised by that. Like, no, well, how do you know that? Well, I did the hard work day after day, week after week, month after month, and I stayed in touch with people, and I like hanging around people who are smarter than me, so a lot of my friends are a lot smarter than me. It doesn't matter, folks, whether the skills are in macros and doing Excel macros, which, frankly, when I ask somebody like that to do that, they're like, wow, you need help from me? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know how to do it, dude. But believe me, I'm not dumb. Once you tell me, I'll know how to do it, but I don't know how to do it right now. And they're thrilled. They're actually thrilled to help.
Yeah, there's that Ben Franklin effect.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and if you need to know how to make a decision between vendors, for instance, that's a future podcast, by the way, or where might be a good spot to take somebody to lunch. I mean, I remember being in New York and needing someplace to take a client to lunch. And so I asked my nieces, who are both professionals in New York City and don't have cars and live in Manhattan, hey, where would you take somebody to lunch? And they made a couple of recommendations. And then they turned me on to a website that was local eateries. And you put in, I think I put in zip codes, or maybe I put in Soho or Midtown or whatever. And holy Toledo, a Google map showed up with like 50 or 100 little places to eat that I wouldn't have walked into because I'd never heard of them before. And I benefited from having my network. And yes, my nieces are in my network because they live in Manhattan. And even though we go to, Mike and I go to New York a lot, there aren't that many people who live in Manhattan. Of say 10 people off the top of my head that I know that work in Manhattan, 10 of them don't live in Manhattan. They all live in Queens or New Jersey or whatever. And so they don't know all the places to go to eat, but my nieces do. And that reminds me that if your family members aren't in your network, then you've got a blind spot. You've got a scotoma about the value. Maybe they only have value for one thing, but it makes it easy to justify staying in touch with them, even if they're not your best friends and your families, because you may need them for something and it wouldn't hurt to stay in touch with them and say how they're doing and so on. People like feeling like you've invested. It sounds terrible to say people like feeling like you've invested, but it's exactly what you've done when you send her an email and say, hey, I was in New York City recently. I hope things are going well. Sorry, I missed you. Something like that. But look, the better your network, the more likely you are to know somebody who can help you. And I know we put out a cast recently about how to create a development plan for yourself. Part of it was recommending that you brainstorm about the skills and abilities you need to develop in order to progress to your next role. It was one of those casts that'll stay hidden for a lot of people, but it's hugely valuable if you want a very mechanistic, a very measurable way for you to move forward in a particular area. One of the sources in your brainstorm should be your network, right? Who do you know that is good at the particular skill you need to get better at? And you can create a reverse coaching situation, or you can ask them to mentor you. You can ask them to be your resource as you try to get better at this particular thing that they're good at. And if they're good at it, it's not hard for them probably to teach it. Or even if they're not a great teacher, it's probably not hard for you to learn from them some things that will save you a bunch of time if they're in your network and you've invested over time so that they feel comfortable hearing from you, right? So right. Drop them a note. Talk to them in the quarter or after a meeting and say, hey, you're really good at making macros and charts and whatever, and they always seem to look really, really sharp. I'd like to get better at it. Is it something you could help me with? And probably what they're going to say, sure, next time you've got something, let me know. And you're there. Now, look, that's one of the things he could say. He could absolutely immediately say, sure, let me know. Or I've got one next week. Why don't you watch me create it? And I'll talk you through what my thought process is and why I delivered it, why I created it the way I did. He could also say, yeah, let me know when you're doing one next and come and sit with me and we can talk about it. And look, folks, don't forget to say thank you and follow up and actually call him the next time you actually have a need. But look, your network could also give you less than a complete response or less than a totally positive response, which in fact is completely normal. He might say something positive but hesitant, like, well, okay, what were you thinking of? And the point here is don't get stuck. Before this conversation, think about what your ideal scenario would be. If all you want him to do is recommend some books, say that, right? Know what it is you want rather than just some vague, hey, you're good at that, I'd love some help, right? If you really want him to help you create your next presentation, by all means, ask. You know, be careful there. That's probably a big ask. And here's a good reminder about ROI. If you're going to make a big ask, make sure you've given big before, because that's a big ask. And make sure you have a really good relationship with him before you do something like that. And look, he could also give you a negative response. He could say, look, I'm sorry, I'm really busy and I don't have time. And the answer to that one is let it go, folks. Say thanks. Right? Now you might say, well, why am I saying thanks? Well, you're thanking him for considering the request and not saying yes. He's being honest with you. He's being candid. He's really busy. Move on. Okay. He's not at that moment out of your network. He's not a bad guy. He's not less valuable to you. You just ask him for the wrong thing at the wrong time. There are friends who you'll ask for things. There are friends who ask you for things that you say, gee, I wish I could, but I can't. You know, somebody asked me to move about a month. I need some help moving. You're a big guy. And yeah, okay, but, you know, I'll be in New York or, you know, I'm on the road. And they're like, and the guy chuckled and said, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm like, dude, really, seriously, I am. if somebody says no, you may want to ask for another a recommendation or some help later on. And if you take it negatively because the one person you asked isn't ready when you want them to be ready, you're going to be ruining your network pretty fast by cutting people out of it. But if you say that, hey, thanks, no worries, and then you continue to work on the relationship in the interim, it's much more likely he's going to say next time. Right now, apparently with Bill, your relationship didn't trump his busyness. And That's okay. And it's worth working on. And yeah, again, that's about ROI. You've got to invest in order to get a return.
Good. Now, what about the use of your network to gain information, right? I mean, if you never turned on the news or looked at a newspaper or read the internet, would you know what's going on in the world? And if the answer is no, surely there's somebody who does, right?
You know, what's funny about that is that the way you ask that, well, if you've ever looked at the news or a newspaper or read the internet, would you know what's going on in the world? You're probably right. The answer, of course, is no. And yet when I ask people three or four questions about what's going on, or I say, you saw this, or you heard this, or you noticed that, almost everyone always says no all the time. Unless it's something on YouTube, or unless it's, you know, a commercial on an NFL broadcast or something like that. I'd hate to say what the inference is from the number of times people have said, no, I don't know about that. The inference is nobody's reading the newspaper or getting on the internet or paying attention or professionally scanning the world to understand what's going on in it. Whether it's European instability and cracks in the euro, which, you know, I talked to somebody recently and I asked them, how long has the euro been around? I wanted to see whether or not this person knew anything about international stuff. And they said, forever. There's always been a euro. I said, no, it's been 21 years. I think it's 1999 that the euro happened. You know, so I'm sorry. It was a little diversion, but there are a lot of people who do spend time on the internet.
So you said 1999 and 21 years. I know this is timeless stuff, but.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said 21. I meant 11. Yeah. But it's not been that long. I mean, it's been a blink of an eye in terms of historical stuff. Yeah. And you know, thanks to the European debt crisis in Greece and other things, there's cracks in the armor. My point was just that if the inference is, or if we ask questions and we discover people don't know what's going on in the world, that's one thing. But I hate to think that the number of people who know what's going on in the world reasonably based on reading the newspaper and reading the internet, and folks, when we say the internet, we don't mean YouTube, even though Google does own it. I think it's worrisome.
Yeah, well, look at, and just think about how much easier it is to know what's going on in the world than it is to know what's going on in your own company, if the company is any size whatsoever. There are tons of resources available in the outside world to know what's going on, even in countries that you've never visited or will never visit in your entire life.
Yeah, exactly.
Yet, there are organizations that are not more than 100 feet from where your desk is, and you have no idea what's going on. Right? I mean, there's status reports. There are some sources, but not as many. The primary source for knowing what's going on in your organization is your network. That's the primary source. And if you don't have that, then you might as well be in the outside world and not even have access to the internet or access to newspapers.
If you're listening to this cast right now, folks, and you're kind of blowing us off a little bit, yeah, this is all nice, but it's a little bit intellectual for me. It's not resonating with me, or it's nice, but it's not trenchant. It's not valuable to me. Let me make a suggestion about a change in the focus of this cast for you mentally. You don't have to worry about gaining information and all that other stuff on this cast. Here's the only thing you need to do. You need to build your network internally at your company. I think I've told the story before on air about the guy who was at a very large company, and he needed help in particularly a different department. And he turned to me, an outsider, a consultant, and said, hey, don't you know anybody in Building A? And my answer was, yeah, I know lots of people. And I'm like, well, I need a favor. Would you call one of them and get a favor from me? I'm like, why don't you walk down there and introduce yourself and ask for something? Oh, yeah, it's a long way. Like, whoa, dude. And this is somebody who should have known lots of people in that other area. And I say should. It would be reasonable for any professional to have a network built in this other department because this other department served the department we were in. But they had no connection to them at all. But yeah, if you want to know what's going on in your organization, you need to be connected to your network, and you need to mine it for information regularly. And frankly, that means you need to share information regularly. Well, look, we're not suggesting some Machiavellian strategy where you listen at doors and blackmail people to tell you about strategy. You don't have to do anything like that. We're not recommending you tell other people about confidential information, but there's all kinds of information out there that's helpful, right? And a lot of you high C's, you don't think this is important. You don't think the players are important. You don't think the people are important. But there are people in organizations who know who is about to go on maternity leave, some of whom may work for you and you don't know it, who know that Treasury is overworked at the time and they put in a proposal for more staff, who know that the sales department is bidding on a big new project. They know the secretary in engineering is leaving because her husband is having to go into the army and being, you know, or he's in the army and he's being transferred. There are people who seem to get on all the cool projects and yet don't necessarily seem to be the big contributor on those big projects. There are people who get invited to the cool corporate parties that seem to be at a level above. They get invited at a level above what they seem to be at. And the way they do it is work in their network. They have lunch with their friends in sales once a week or every couple of weeks. They when they walk through engineering to get to product development, they actually say hi to the people over there and the people that they were at a training class with. They say, hey, man, how's it going? What's going on? Or whatever translates into a phrase you could say. I had a person at a conference, Mike, about 6 months ago say, Mark, every once in a while you say, I should go over to people and say, hey, man, how's it going? What's going on? And I'm just telling you, I could never say that. That doesn't sound like me. I said, okay, I'm sorry. Use whatever phrase you would use as an introductory phrase in a conversation in order to just start up a conversation. And he said, well, what would that be? I said, well, I wouldn't know what would work for you. He says, I just don't do that very much. I said, look, if you don't do it at all, don't complain about the one that I use. I'm not saying you should use mine. Just use something. So people work their network. They ask their boss, what's going on after he or she comes out of a meeting? They get to meetings a few minutes early and they see flowers on somebody's desk that they're walking by and they say, do I need to congratulate you? Nice flowers. What's the occasion? They say yes when they're asked to help out something on corporate that's a volunteer. Maybe it's even a picnic. I know you're thinking, geez, that's nuts. But look, I just talked recently to an investment banker who's got a nine-figure portfolio. And an 11-figure portfolio. One of his goals on his strategy next year was, which we disagreed on whether it needed to be strategy, but one of his lines and his objective for his organization that he was running in this 11-figure portfolio was, and support corporate opportunities and projects and products. Meaning he knew, and this guy was a network master, he knew that he had to have time, he had to have slack to support things that probably wouldn't mean anything to his team, but in fact kept connections going so that when he needed a favor from the Treasury or from finance or from somebody else where he could perhaps lay some risk off, he would have that connection already in place. So people say yes, knowing that not only will it look good, but it will get them introduced to other people, to more people whom they don't know. Look, be smart. Ask your boss or ask your boss's boss how the pitch went with that new client. You weren't in it. You had to provide numbers for it. But if you provide numbers for a pitch and then you wonder how it goes and you actually see the people who were in the pitch and you don't ask, that's your fault for not knowing. It's reasonable to ask. You know, when I talked to a young guy recently, I think I was in Chicago, and he was telling me about what was reported that was said in the Chicago Bears locker room after a loss that may have indicated tension between a running back and the offensive line. And he was very detailed about who said what and whether or not it was this particular guy or whether it was a college rivalry that was carried over to the pros or whether it was a question of whether or not this guy was fit or not or whether he was going to go on injured reserve. And I was stunned by how much he knew. And I thought I kind of knew what this little controversy was about. But this guy clearly was knowledgeable. At the end of the conference, at the end of the first day of the conference, in between the effective manager conference and the effective communication conference, he came up to me and said, look, I got a problem with a coworker. I wondered if you could help me. I said, sure, what is it? And he said, well, this guy's not really cool to me. He just kind of, I don't know, I feel like we need to get along and he's not doing cool stuff to me. I feel like we're at odds with one another. I said, well, give me some more details. He says, well, it's really hard to describe. And, you know, I don't know the guy that well. And I'm like, wow, you can describe the subtleties of relationships between two people on a professional football team that you've never met. And you're only hearing about it through secondhand sources, reporters, and the internet. And he said he'd went to several different sort of not official websites or websites that aren't highly known. I'm sure I'm making myself an idiot here, but other than Sports Illustrated or ESPN, he went to some NFL fan sites, right, where there's chatter going on, sort of forum posts and stuff. But he didn't know anything about this guy that he needed to work better with. Like, come on, dude. You got to have a relationship with that guy. Well, you know, he's not really a great guy. I said, well, how is it that you could know everything about the Bears? He says, yeah, I never thought about it that way. So look, information does not flow in the ether. Okay. If you want information to come to you, you have to be connected to the right conduits out there. And in organizations, that's other people. So you've got to reach out to people. You've got to pay attention. You've got to stay in touch. And then opportunities will make themselves available to you. And if you've ever said to yourself, geez, I didn't even know that opportunity existed, that's a statement about your network and not about opportunities.
Yeah, good point. This point is very closely related to our next point in terms of using your network to gain visibility. I'm sure we've talked about it on at least one of the podcasts, the fact that promotability is a mix of a lot of factors, right? But and one of them is, do the people who make the decision know how good you are?
Oh, that's such a huge one.
People think that it's the boss, right? That the boss makes the decision. Now, certainly your boss has to have a pretty good view of you for you to get promoted. But the decision to promote you is not just made by your immediate boss. It's made by his peers, his boss,
and his peers.
Right. And sometimes the boss's boss's boss and her peers, depending upon the organization, right? So gaining visibility is an important step to getting promoted. And if you want to move sideways, the decision will be made by people who don't yet know you at all. How do you meet them? Well, your network can help.
Yeah, exactly. And I tell you, this is a lot like interviewing in the sense that I've said before, you don't get credit for what you've done. You get credit for what the recruiter or the interviewer knows you've done. And there's attenuation between your results and the communication of those results, right? The fact that you get promoted is not based on your results, which may, in fact, based on some neutral third-party analysis, be better than the person you're up for the interview, up for the promotion against. It's whether or not those accomplishments are known well. That's why when you go in for an interview for another job in your company, you better know how to interview internally, which we've talked about before, right? It's amazing to me. And then people say, well, my results are better than his. Yeah, but it's not the actual results that matter. It's the perception of the results. Not everybody in the organization can know everything. And a good example of that is you, because you don't know everything. So the bosses don't know everything. So it's going to have to be sold to them. And then when people say to me, well, Mark, I just don't think I should have to work that hard selling it. Well, okay, but welcome to the welcome to the political world of human beings with emotions. That's the way it works. That's the reality. And whether you like it or not, you're not going to get promoted very often if you produce great results and then no one knows about them, right? And frankly, if no one knows about it, the result probably isn't that great. But yeah, look, how do you meet other people? Through extra work and through your network. And look, sorry if you thought being promoted was all about the bump in pay. The reason you have to work more before you're promoted is to get ready for the extra work you're going to have once you are promoted. Right. I said recently, I think that with the role power that being a boss or a higher level boss has, what comes with that is responsibility. And more responsibility usually means longer hours or more stress. If you don't want that, then think seriously about doing something differently. Look, volunteer to do work for your boss. Use your network to gain visibility by volunteering to do work for your boss, which will get you in front of her boss and her peers. Volunteer to be on cross-department projects, which will give you new contacts in other places that will make a difference in terms of your people you know and favors you can get, provided you treat them well. And by the way, we rarely talk about this, but one of the ways to improve your network is to do good work, right? To be seen as somebody who shows up on time, who contributes, who has good ideas, who has a positive attitude, who doesn't get all negative all the time, who doesn't throw other people under the bus, who when somebody else needs help, you step up and you try to help. And what worries me sometimes about young people saying, well, I'm just really swamped and I can barely get my own work done, is I know there's that 20% they need to do additionally on the side that's not getting done. And the only way you can find the time to do that is actually to do it and then discover that, oh, I got my other work done in less time and I found time to do this thing that I needed to do as well to benefit my career. Now, I know there are people out there saying, well, gee, I didn't know that I'd do this extra stuff. I thought if I just did my job, I'd get promoted. Well, no, sorry, that's not true. Yeah, that's why we have the 150% rule, right? You have to do 100% of your job and 50% of your boss's job if you really want to be likely to get promoted. So once you're on the projects that you've gotten on in order to expand your network, and yes, it takes more work, and oh, there are people who are bailing on this cast right now, you need to do two things. Be good and don't let your normal work suffer. And by being good, I mean delivering results and being kind and helping others out and so on. And then as your network grows, keep in touch with those people so you find out about more opportunities that get you the right exposure, and that allows you to get an interview for the right opportunity. And you think, wow, how did this ever happen? Well, it was the death of a thousand cuts, or the opposite of a death of a thousand cuts. It's the equivalent of the longest journey starts with a single step. Gee, I sound like a Hallmark card. Look, whether we like it or not, whether it comes naturally or not, building a network is essential. Once you have it, you use it to your advantage. And the way you get it is by investing in it. You spend time, you get to know people, and those things can essentially synergize one another. You meet more people, you serve more people, you build more network, which allows you to meet more people. And that's really it. You give back. Right? You start with the service mentality. If you can't have just a love for other human beings or other professionals in your heart, then okay, then give in order to get later, and keep giving and make sure that your return is, maybe your return is less than your investment, but it's still worth it. It's not a 2-to-1 return. Maybe you bet $2 and you get three back. But you know, so that's a $1 return on a $2 risk, but it's still worth it. You can use it to gain skills by asking for help. You can use it to gain information by asking lots of people who know more than you do. And I know a lot of people who just are uncomfortable asking questions, but asking questions is how you learn and how you get skills and how you get new jobs and so on. And then you've also got to use it to gain visibility. You've got to stretch your network, and then meeting those people gives you visibility to all kinds of opportunities elsewhere that you probably didn't even know existed. And it happens day to day, week to week, month to month, and lots of small, boring things that end up making a big, dramatic difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I hope folks take this and actually do something with it versus just it being an intellectual exercise.
As opposed to not to know. Nice to know. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it can make a huge difference. All right. Thanks, my friend.
Thanks, partner.
We'll see you. Thanks, everyone. That's it. We'll see you next week. In the meantime, have a great one. So long.